Lumbers Union, again, you'll be Merkelitz. And it's not the way you really would have liked to say this year. All right, you're certain you say this. We'll start from the... Before we really get to the main Lumbers in the Sugya, since yesterday you went off a little to a different Indian, I'd just like to give a few Hakdomas, a few Yesoidas, which I don't think I mentioned clearly yet. I mean, we talked about Meitav, but now when we get to the Sugya of Ishaskis, we have to go and speak a little more about, besides Meitav, which is the Din of Nezokin, we have two other Chidushim that we find in collecting land. Again, by Nezikin, the Torah was Mechadish that he has the right to get the best quality of land. That's simple. That's a pasuk in the Torah. Meitav Sadeh Meitav Kam. There are two other demons. Let's first talk about by Balchoyv. Balchoyv, it's very simple. But if you listen carefully, you'll see a beautiful Kiddush. The Gemara says, a Balchoyv, that means a man who lends somebody else money, when he comes to collect his debts, if there's no cash available, again, assuming there's no cash, because if there is cash, he has the rights to get cash. But if there's no cash, he can collect land. What type of land? Beninus. Middle kind of land. Now, where does this din come, Beninus? On that, for her it's simple. The Gemara says, Minat Torah, according to Uluf. Remember we had the Gemara? Minat Torah, really, he should not be able to have the rights to the Beninus. Minat Torah law, he should only get the worst. The Chachomim came along, and they raised him up a level that he can collect Beninus. So this is not like Nezikin. Nezikin, Minat Torah get Idris. Balchoyv, Minat Torah get Ziburis. And the Rabbanon said, in order that people should want to lend money, the Rabbanon had to raise his level that he could collect from Beninus. In Yerushalmi, and it's brought down in Samai Bekiyas, but in the Achronim, they bring down the Yerushalmi learns the reverse. That min ha-Torah, a Balchoyv should get from Idyas. He should get from the best. Tosafot mentions it. He should get from the best, the Idyas. Because he did himself a favor and fell his friend a favor. Why should he have to go suffer with middle quality land? And especially, there's no money. He lent him money. And there's no money to get paid back, so at least it's logical he should get the best quality land. But the Rabbanon made him lower. The Rabbanon were afraid that if the Balchoy will always collect with top land, he'll, like you sign today's signs, people go into business lending out money because they want, in case the fellow doesn't pay back, to be able to collect the land. So people might be shrewd, and they might dafka go to lend money in order, because this way they're hoping that the fellow won't have money to pay back and they'll collect from Idyas. So the Rabbanon lowered him. And the Rabbanon said that a Balchoy only collects from Beninus. I'm showing you the Yerushalmi takes the halacha of Balchoyv and gives us that a Balchoyv in Beninus is really, he's a weaker halacha. According to our Gemara, the Chacham did a favor for the Balchoyv. If he can go from Ziburis to Beninus, according to the Yerushalmi, it's the reverse. That's a good idea to know. The last case is Ksubas Isha. Idyas gets Idyas. That's a Chiddush. I don't know if you heard it, maybe you saw it already in the Mefarshim, but that's very important. I'm just setting up the three halachas. The last halacha is a ksuvas isha, a woman whose husband either died or divorced her when she comes to get land. So there, halacha really, she doesn't have to have any special benefits in land because she wants to get married more than the husband. A woman is more interested in marriage than a man. Hazal teach us human nature. So since a woman is more interested, we don't have to sort of make a better halacha. That's why she remains with her halacha of ziburis. Okay, according to the Bavli, works out better because according to the Bavli, every balchoy would really collect from ziburis. It's only by a regular balchoy we had to raise it for a certain reason. According to Yerushalmi, you have to know how it'll work out. According to Yerushalmi, every balchoy should naturally get even idyas. So according to the Yerushalmi, you have to know, I mean, a woman is no worse than a regular, she has a debt. The husband was mechayev himself to pay up for the ksuba. So I'm saying, you're according to the Yerushalmi, and we're going to leave that open. According to the Yerushalmi, why a Ksubis Isha gets Ziburis, I'm sure there's reasons for it. I'm not prepared to work on that point now. What we did is we set up the three halachas. Okay. Now, this is all when a man has... when a man has the three kinds of lands. He has the possibility. But let's say if he doesn't have those lands. He doesn't have the lands. He just happens to have, let's say, ziburis. That's all he has. The Chachamim did not force him to go out and buy Igis from the Zikr. In other words, the din, this is, I'm saying something, which is a big yisoid now. These three dinim are dinim on the chevtze of the land that the person has. They're not chiyuvim on the gavri. It's not a chiyuv that the mazik has to pay idyas, or else he'd have to borrow money to pay idyas. It's a din the Torah gave rights on his land, a shibud. It's a lien on the property. It's not a chiyuv on the person. Again, the rai is because if it would be a chiyuv on the person, he'd have to do whatever is necessary to get these kinds of land. So when you're looking at these three halachas, idyas, bein ziburis, you have to look at it that these are the Torah, the Chachamim said that there are rights to the man's property if he owns them. If he doesn't own them, there's nothing for the rights. There's nothing to catch the rights on. So these are dinim on the chevtze, on the land is chusim that the fellow, whoever is coming, whoever deserves it, gets a shibud on the property. It's not, the halach of idyas is not that the man, the mazik, has to see to it that the nizik gets idyas. If the mazik owns idyas, the nizik has the rights to it. I hope if you catch that, it's not on the government. Now, that's the second step. Now the third step is, after we just finished saying that these are all shibudim, these are laws on the land that the mazik or the bachoyv owns, we come in and get closer to our sugya. If he sells the land, if he sells, let's say he had all kinds of land, and he sold the idyas, and he's left with Ben Nissen Ziburis. Now you know, the Gemara says clearly, that where did the Nizik collect from? He sold only the idyas, and he's left with Ben Nissen Ziburis. The Gemara says that the Nizik cannot take away the idyas from the seller, from the buyer. The Nizik has to be stuck with whatever he has. Same thing if he sold the Beninus. As long as there's Ben Chorin, as long as he has something left over, you can't take it away. The question is, where does that halacha come from? This is something, another Yisoid, which I want to tell you as a Hagdoma. Again, this klal, that whatever is left over, people have to take. They can't say to the Lokeach, I already had a din on idyas, and you had no right. The fellow can say, listen, there's still ziburis left. So the Gemara in Gittin, the sugi in the fifth perik, it's mashma min ha-Torah, this is the chiddush, min ha-Torah, the nizik could go and take it away. Not like our Gemara. Min ha-Torah, technically, since I just finished saying that the Torah gave the nizik rights on the land of Meitav, so if the mazik sold the best land, even if he has other land available, even if he has Ben Chorin still there, the nizik can tell the lakeah, you took my shibud away. You bought something that had a lien on it. That's min haTorah. And our Gemara teaches us, the Rabbanon said not the way. The Rabbanon came along, and the Rabbanon said, even if min haTorah, assuming shibud deraisa, as I explained in other shiurim, that min haTorah, the shibud carried over to the buyer, and really the buyer should have to give it back. The Rabbanon made a new takana that the nizik loses his rights to collect from the idyas. And the Chachamim said, in order for shalom, people shouldn't get upset that they're losing the land. The Chachamim made a new takana, and they stopped the shibud. They stopped the right to collect from idyas, as long as there's something left over by the person himself. So this is a chiddush. Poshut, you learn that as long as there's Ben Chorin, as long as there was never any shibud, it's only when they're all there. But if he sells something and there's still left over Ben Chorin, there's no shibud. So I'm explaining to you a chiddush. The Gemara in Gittin is mashmat this. You need a special takonas hachamim. The hachamim had to change the law. Why? Because without the hachamim changing the law, min haTorah, there was already a lien. There was already, he had the rights to the idyus. The Torah gave him the rights. Okay. So this is all the Hakdama, this is the Yesodus that we come to when we get to the Sugya Vishaskis. Alright. The Chachomim said Lamaisa. The klal of the Chachomim is that whenever there's any land left over, then you don't go after categories anymore. You don't go after Idyas, Beninis. Everybody suffers with whatever is available. Whatever's been churin, that's called. In other words, whatever is, was not sold, whatever is available. The Gemara comes along in our sugya, and the Gemara says even a bigger chiddush. This is the Gemara. This is where the chiddush of Ishaska starts. What happened was, he sold the man himself. The case. Let's get the case clear of our sugya. The case was that Ruvain had all three categories of land. He started off a very wealthy person. He was okay. He had idyas, and he owed somebody, he damaged. He had idyas. He had balchoiv, who borrowed money from somebody, and he had beninis. And he had subasisha, he divorced his wife, and he had ziburis. So everything would be very simple, except for the fact that he sold all three lands. This is where the complication comes in. Mochar le'echod kishloisha. If you look carefully, the Gemara, he sold all three pieces of land. Now, it depends, how did he sell them? If he sold all three together in one shot to one person, he sold them all three, then it's very simple. All the three people go to the other person and say, we each collect what we're supposed to get. The difficulty in the sugya, the catch is that he sold it to one person, but not at the same time. First he sold ziburis. First he sold the worst one. So when he sold the worst ones, he still had both left over, beninis and idyas. Then he sold the beninis. He still has idyas. Now if he kept his idyas, technically at that point, if he would not have sold the idyas, everybody would rush to the idyas, because, as we just said, there's a ben chorin. The Chachamim said, as long as he has ben chorin, everybody collects from whatever he has. Then he sold the idyas to the fellow. So when he sells the idyas to the fellow, we have a very lumdish shaila now. What happens now when the three people come to collect their debts? They come to the Ruvain, sold everything to Shimon. So the three people come to Shimon. Now they would all like to collect idyas, because, and they say, you sold idyas last. So if you sold idyas last, we all were supposed to get from idyas. Then when you sold it, we should be able to all take away idyas. In case he sold a lot of fields of idyas, they all want to come to idyas. Right. So the Gemara says, what's the halacha? First let's get the halacha. The Gemara says that even though he sold idyas last, the Gemara says the halacha is that they don't all take from idyas. Each one takes whatever he was supposed to get. So that's the halacha. That even though he sold idyas last, the halacha is they all take what they're supposed to take. Now there's a big question over here. What is the logic behind it? Why should it be that way? If he sold idyas last, why can't the balchoyim? And the Ksuvah Zisha say, since this idyas was sold last, so it was ben churin, and everything switched over to the idyas. And since it got sold last, that's the Gemara's question. On that, that's where the sugya of Ishaska starts. To try to figure out, according to the takonas chachomim, they should all be able to collect from idyas. Why is the halacha that they each get what they're supposed to get? That's the problem. So on that, Rav Sheshes comes, and Rav Sheshes says, Rav Sheshes brings in a new power called Ishaskas, which is sort of a threat. That means that Rav Sheshes says, Shimon, who did all this, Shimon who's caught, Shimon who's who is afraid, he doesn't want to give up all of his idyas, which according to Bezdin, they should all take away his idyas. Shimon, the Gemara says, and there's a beautiful machlokes rishonim exactly what this is. That's what we're going to work on now. Shimon can come to Bezdin and say, Ishaskis, if you'll keep quiet and take what the Torah usually gives you, Balchoiv, if you'll take Beninis, for instance, or so, Shaskisu, I'll give you what you're supposed to. If you want to take what normally you want to take. But if you want to get a Metziah, if you want to come to me now and say, since I bought Idyas last, that I have to give everything away, I'll play a trick. And halacha, push it in halacha, I have a way to get even with you. To see to it that you will not collect from Idyas. Why? What's he going to do? He says, if you don't keep quiet, he tells him, Madarna shtar de ziburis lamore. I'll give back the ziburis, the shtar of the ziburis. I have in my hand the document that I bought ziburis from Reuven. I'll give it back. I'll give back the document. And if I give back the document, now already ziburis is b'nei chayrim. Ziburis is available. So everybody will have to push themselves. Now they'll collect the ziburis. And if so, therefore, you better keep quiet and take what you're supposed to take. Now on this point there are many problems. Exactly what's happening here, this power. First of all, the Rush, the important Rush, asks and says, what kind of a threat is this? If he takes the document that says that he bought Ziburis, what kind of threat? He gives it back. So what does that mean? According to Halacha, he still owns all three lands. According to Halacha, that's not what the Gemara says. The Gemara says Mahadarna Shtora de Ziburis. That's why I'm bringing this to your attention. I want you to see how it be medayik, the Rush. So the question is, when you the Rush asks, when you return a shtar, that's not called, you haven't done anything. You just lost your proof that you own it. If I go to a store, I buy a car and they give me a receipt, and if I lose the receipt, does that mean I don't own the car anymore? So the Rush. Oh, you're right. If you want to sell it back, or you want to give it back, you have to write out a new shtar. That's the Rosh's kasha. The really Gemara says, I'll return the same Mahadarna. I'll give back the document which says that I bought the Ziburis. I'm trying to show you how careful you have to be in the Lashon of the Gemara. That's the Rosh, is Rishonim's kasha. So the Rosh, how could that, what's that going to help? So the Rosh answers,
you're giving back the deed of the property.
But you still own the land. So the Rush says you have to learn that you have to make a moment. So the Rush answers that with the Gemara, it's lav dafka. This teaches us sometimes when the Gemara says something, you have to add on a little to it. The Gemara was written in a very brief, sharp way. Mahadarna means, it's lav dafka, but what the Gemara means according to the Rush is that he will give it back. That he'll sell it back, he'll make a kinyan with money, he'll make a king chazaka, he'll write out a new star. But with the Gemara, if you can't take the Gemara literally, that's what the Rush says.
Not
a matana? Because that's not a matana, just returning the star. Giving the document back.
He has to be kind of again and buy it?
He has to be kind of again. That's the shaska.
Why would he do it? Why would he
in order to force the other people, in order to force them to keep quiet. The threat has to be a threat that can accomplish. The threat has to be that I'll sell it back or I'll give it back. But not enough just to return the shtar. This is sounds very simple.
Every
but
time you give a present to write out a
prescription. Yeah, well, make a kinyan. If you give him a pen, you put it in his hand. If you want to give a person a present land, you need a kinyan. You need a kinyan. You can't use the old shtar. You have to make a new transaction. You owned it already. You have to make a new kinyan. Okay, that's one very simple point. Now, the question in the... That's one point. Okay, that was just the start off. Now what we have here is a big machlokes between Tosfos and the Rush. We have here exactly how far does this power go? What exactly does the threat accomplish? So Tosfos comes along and Tosfos explains that by for Ishaskis, you don't need, when he's talking, Here's the interesting part. When he's talking to the Ksubas Isha, when Shimon is trying to get these people not to take away all of his idyas, Tosfos says he doesn't have to use the threat of Ishaskis for the woman. Because he could tell the woman, listen, you have no right. You have no right to, normally you should get Ziburis anyway. I'm not trying to cheat you. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm just asking you not to take advantage of me. So Tosfos says, the Ksubas Isha anyway, you don't need Ishaskis for. Because the Ksubas Isha, she has to take Ziburis anyway. She cannot, there's no reason for him to have to use the threat. The Rosh says that even by Ksubas Isha, we have to use the power of Ishaskis. He has to be able to tell her, I have the power to give it back. Tosfos says, not. Tosfos says, since he's not trying to be mafkia koicho, so, you don't need Ishaskis.
What?
Oh, that's what I'm trying to go into.
What do you mean you don't need Ishaskis?
For you don't need to force the woman to take Ziburis, so she can't say l'chiseder. She can't call his bluff. She cannot call his bluff. Tosfos says, even though she can't call his bluff, still, she's not being mafkia koicha. He's not hurting him by telling her, listen, you have no rights to you have no rights to take idyas. The Rosh says she would have rights. Again, what we're saying is the threat, Pashut, you learn in the Gemara, the threat is for everybody. The threat is for the Baal Chayiv, that the Baal Chayiv shouldn't take away his idyas. And he should just be happy with Beninus. And it's also for the Ksubas Isha, that she shouldn't take advantage, as I spoke out, of idyas. From Taisis of Mashma, that she has no rights to idyas at all. They push it. Ein mafkia koicha. The Rosh says, not the way. The Rosh says that the power of Ishaskis is needed for her, and even though she could call her his bluff and say, look, he said there, go wait, I'll wait until you actually return the Ziburis. And if you don't return them, actually, I'm entitled to idyas. On that, the Rosh says, no, she can't say that. Because since he has the power to give it back, the Rosh speaks out of it. It's as if he gave it back already. And he doesn't have to go through the technical legal laws of selling back the Ziburis to make her take Ziburis. He can tell her, since I could do it, it's as if I did it already. So the Rosh is arguing on Tosfos. Tosfos seems to say that he has no shilas with her. As long as he's not cheating her out of her ziburis, you don't need the ishaskis. Rosh says, you need the ishaskis. And the Rosh says that it's so powerful, the ishaskis, that it's as if he did it already. Therefore, she can't taina l'chiseder. Now, the Rosh is l'chosvar very stark. Okay, Tosfos is harder to understand. The Rosh says like this. The last B'nai Chorin, remember that's why I gave this whole Akdama. What was the last B'nai Chorin? It was Idyas. Right. And that he bought last. Shimon bought last B'nai Chorin. So the Chorin, she comes and she says, I do have Kayaf for Idyas. I have the right to collect Idyas, because the law of the Chacholim said is that whenever there's B'nai Chorin, it carries over. And it comes out that this last B'nai Chorin was the last one sold. So now I have Shibudim, I have rights to your Idyas. Because that was the last land that was in the hands of the owner. The Chor of the Rosh is Poshit. So how does he get out of it? He gets out of it. What? Okay, of course, we're going now. Idyas Bachrin. So the only way the Rosh says, how does he get out of giving her Idyas? By saying, Ishaskis, you better keep quiet, because I have a power to force, to give back Ziburis. I'll sell back the Ziburis. And it's as if I did it already. So if I did it already, you lost your rights to Idyas. Because it's as if I already, your whole time is that you had a rights to Idyas, but if I sell back Ziburis, your rights are now in Ziburis. So the Rosh, we understand, he has to fight with her. The question is, what does Tosfos say that he doesn't even have to fight with her? She has no court case to stand on. Because technically he could tell her, listen, the Torah only gave you Ziburis, so what are you trying to be a chaper for? What do you mean she's not trying to be a chaper? Technically, she has the right to idyas. So what's Pshat and Tosfos, you should ask me?
But
But the whole reason why, that's the reason, you know, the reason why she has to worry is, one, because she's...
She doesn't need more than that. But right now she has...
She's not going to want more.
No, every person wants more. Of course she wants more. But the Chacham never gave her the rights to more. But now that she... Since Idyas was the last available, so she does have rights. What does Taisus mean that she has no rights? No, what do you mean? Russian Taisus.
Right.
Taisus says that she has no rights to Idyas. Why not? We said the Chachamim said that whatever's last in the hands of the owner, everybody collects from. And that was Idyas, so she does have rights to it.
How does Taisus say she doesn't have rights to Idyas? How does that connect to Taisus?
What do you mean? So Taisa says you don't need Ishaskis for that. Taisa says you don't say Lefisedah. She can't come along and complain, I deserve Idyas till you give it back. She can't say Lefisedah. You learn Taisa? It's not fair now. I should first have to go in. Taisa says she has no rights to Idyas. The question is, what do you mean? Why should have just as much rights as everybody else? That was the last. That was he owned Bnei Chorin. I said the Takana was that if there's Bnei Chorin, everybody sticks to that. So we'd like to say a pshat to explain Taisus Shita. And when the Chachamim, this is again why I asked you to get down the Hakdomah, this whole Allah I told you from the Gemara in Gittin, it's a Takonas Chachamim. Now whenever there's left over by the fellow, the Shibudim fall off. From whatever was bought falls off, and it goes back on whatever's left over, whatever's free. Remember we said, therefore even the Zakin have to take what's ever free. Even though according to the Torah law, the Zakin still have rights to the better land, but the Chachamim said you lost your rights. Because now the Chachamim made it that everything should depend on what's free land. But we want to say, when the Chachamim made that Takana, it was only to protect from those people that have more rights. The whole purpose of the Takana is that the buyer of land shouldn't have to give away better land. Shouldn't have to give away better land. The whole purpose of the Takana of keeping Bnei Chorin was only to protect from Nezikin and from Balchoyim. Because if this way, the fellow can always tell him, listen, I don't want you to, you can't claim your rights to Idyas, because I'm bought it now, let me enjoy it. Go back to your fellow, the original, he has some Ziburis. So the Chacham said, let's have Rachmanis on the Lekeach. Because he's a new fellow. He didn't cause anybody any problem. So therefore, why should he have to give away better properties? So we're just adding, we're saying, the Yisoid Taisus holds that the Takanas Chacham never included supposition. The Takanas Chacham never included it. Because the only purpose was to save him from losing better quality land. But since Iksubasisha only has rights to the worst quality land, so if there's nothing else left, if there's nothing there, there's no reason why she should get more than what she originally deserved.
The last thing sold.
No, so explain. The only purpose why we said the last thing sold was to protect that if the last thing sold is a lower grade, that the people who are supposed to get better should not be able to collect better. The takana was that if you have good, that if he's left with low class stuff, they should have to take it from him. They shouldn't be able to go to the buyers. So that was the purpose of the Takanas Chachamim, to protect people who have more rights, who have rights to Idyas and Beinonis. So the Takana was, in case there's Ziburis left over, so then they shouldn't have any rights to, shouldn't continue to collect from their better halach. But for Ksubas Isha, which there was never any fear, there was never any reason to worry about it, because she's only entitled to the worst land. That's why Tosfos holds it never went into the Takana. Might sound very complicated. It's not. If you just think it over and you'll review well the Hakdoma, what we explain, I think you'll understand. So, Bekitzer, that's the Machloikas, Taisvis against the Rosh. The Rosh held that technically, once the Chachamim made a Takana, that whatever is free, everything, all the Shibud carries to that. So, Subhazisha goes along with the whole group. That's where the Rosh holds. The Rosh says the Chachamim didn't start making any differences. And Taisvis goes deeper into the reason. The reason behind the Takana was only to protect the Lokea from Nezikin and Balchayv. It was not to protect him from Ziburis. That's why he tells you have no rights to Idyas. Okay. That's one point. The Rosh comes along and the Rosh adds another Chiddush, a new point. When you learn this Gemara of Ishaskis, So the Gemara, it's sort of like a trick. It's a way, it's like a chokhmah. No, the Rush himself. There's a machlokes, he brings down a whole the Rush against other, there's a whole machlokes in Rishonim, I think against the Rajba. The Rush says, what would be if the person doesn't taina ishaskas? The person doesn't say anything. This lokeach is an amoritz, Shimon, the one who bought it. He doesn't know any, didn't think of ishaskas. He didn't think of this trick. What happens then? So, other Rishonim say, if he doesn't claim it, so then if he doesn't say ishaskas, so then they all take from idyas. Because if he's not smart enough to think of this trick, to get out of pain, so then we don't say anything. Everybody keeps quiet. So if he doesn't think about it, so Bezdin allows these Subasisha, all the people, to collect from idyas. The Rush says not good. The Rush says that even if he doesn't say anything, even if he's not smart enough to come up with this solution, Bezdin tells the people, sorry, we're not going to give you all of you idyas, because Bezdin says, this person who you're trying to collect the idyas from, if he would have been smart enough, he would have been able to give back the ziburis. So Bezdin puts the words in his mouth. So we have a machlokes Rishonim here, a very interesting machlokes. The Rosh says that it's like built-in rights. Even if he himself doesn't come up with it, it works automatically. Because again, the Rosh Lushitasa, he says, that anything that he could have done is as if he did it already. In other words, and anything that he could have thought of, the Rosh says, if he could have given it back, it's as if he'd given it back already. So the Rosh looks at the time of Ishaskis, that what Ishaskis does is, it automatically like goes through the computer, and it comes out that they have no rights to Idyas anymore. What Ishaskis does is, since he has a way of giving back his Ziburis and changing the Halacha, so what Ishaskis, it knocks off the rights to have Idyas. But the Rajva says not the way. The Rajva says if he's not smart enough, technically the rights they have their rights to Idyas, because Idyas was sold, that was what was sold last. It's only if he himself happens to be smart and he thinks up of Ishaskis, he comes up with a new brainstorm, so he gets out of paying what normally he would have to pay. But according to the Rush, it's automatic. This is a very interesting. According to the Rush, there's the kindness for him. Because it seems, according to the Rush, that Ishaskis is sort of a automatic, it knocks off the rights that they have. They thought they had rights to Idyas. So what the power of Rav Sheshes says is that Ishaskis is so powerful that it knocks off whatever rights to Idyas they have. That's the Machlokes Rishonim. The Gemara comes along on Rav Sheshes, the next part of the Gemara, and the Gemara says like this. It's a new part. Nope. Try to get it. The Gemara says, if there's such a power of Ishaskis that a person has the rights to give back land, so even a Zikin should not be able to collect from Idyas. Even the Zikin should be able to hurt the Nezikin. The Nezik wants to collect from Idyas because he says, I always deserve Idyas, and now Idyas is last. And he comes along and says, no, I'll give you Beinus, because if you don't keep quiet, I'll give you Ziburis. So the Gemara comes along and takes the power of Ishaskis, and not only does it make it that the fellow shouldn't lose, he shouldn't have to give all of them Idyas, the Gemara assumes that Ishaskis should be able to give all of them Beinus, or maybe even Ziburis. According to the Rush, it really should be able to give, even according to Tosfos, it'll be Beinus. But if you look carefully, according to the Rush, if you say Ishaskis, he should be able to push all them to Ziburis.
Rashi says he'll give Beinus unless it takes Beinus.
I know. Right. So Rashi is more like Tosfos, but like the Rush who says that Ishaskis means that since he has the rights to give back the Ziburis, it's as if he gave it back already. and nobody can call his bluff and say l'chiseder. So according to the Rosh Pshat in the Gemara is that all three of them should have to get ziburis. The Nezikin should go all the way from losing idyas, baininess, and take ziburis. That's the way the Rosh learns the Gemara's kasha. So in other words, the Gemara is asking is, how can you, Rav Sheshes, explain the Braisa, which the Braisa says each one gets according to what they're supposed to get? How could you explain it because of the Svara of Ishaskis? If there is such a power of Ishaskis, they should all get the bottom. For the Nezikin should only get Benin. What does the Gemara do for that? The Gemara says that, oh, such a good kasha, that now the Gemara slugs up this, that we can't use the logic of Ishaskis, it's too powerful. So the Gemara changes, and the Gemara says, the end of the next step of the Gemara is that we're talking about Yisayman. Oh, what did we accomplish by saying that it's Yisayman? That there's nobody to give it back to. What the Gemara's step of the Gemara is saying, that changing the case, that there's no more power. The fellow who bought the lands from the father, Reuven owed all the money. Reuven had all the land. Reuven sold everything to Shimon. When Reuven dies, then all these three people come to Shimon. Shimon can't say, I'm going to give it back, Ziburis, and everybody will collect. Because the halach is, whatever you give back to your Simon, nobody gets from. So we lose the power. There's no threat anymore. Because he can't, won't accomplish anything. So therefore, the Gemara is stuck with the same problem. If he doesn't have any power of Ishaskis, so why don't they all collect from Idyas? Now we're back to the original problem. So since Shimon bought Idyas last, they should all collect from Idyas. So the Gemara, just to finish up, the Gemara says, oh, that the reason why they don't all collect from Idyas is because he could say, this whole favor was done for me, the buyer can say. So since he bought last Idyas, he doesn't want the favor. So since he could say, I don't need the favor, if a man is hurt, if Takanas Hacham was for his benefit, and in this particular circumstance, he's losing out, so the halacha is that he doesn't need it. You don't need a Takanas Chacham. Now at this point becomes a very important problem. Halacha l'maisa. After the Gemara finishes off, that the Braisa is talking about with Yisayman, and that's why they all collect, each one gets according to their halacha, a Yisayman. So the question is, what would be when the father's living? What happens, halacha, in a case where there is a father around? Do we go back to the lumdus of Ishaskis when there is a father? What would be in a case? You have to know the halacha in such a case. The original case. Or not. L'chari you'd say, well then we use Ishaskis. But if you look in the Rajva, halacha and the Rambam, Toshit, there's a big machlokes. The Rosh holds halacha l'maisa. We paskin like Ishaskis.
Ishaskis was a problem.
It was a power.
Power
which we tried to, that's right, it was the power to give everybody, to push everybody to Ziburis. So the question is, after the Gemara switched and took away, that told us the case, in such a case where there's no power of Ishaskis, so what would be when there is a father? So the Rosh paskins that it's back in place. When there is a father around, halacha l'maisa, if it comes such an incident, so he can push them all to Ziburis. The Rosh says, halacha, we paskin. We paskin like the kashan Rav Sheshes. In other words, we paskin like the kasha, that it's so powerful that it could push everybody to Ziburis. That's the way the Rosh paskins. When there is a father, when there is somebody to give it back, we use the power of Ishaskis completely, and everybody loses. They can only collect from Ziburis. But the Rambam, it seems, the Rambam paskins, not the way, that even when there is a father, the most that each one get is according to their din, even when there is a father. So, there's a big question, what happened to the power of Ishaskis? And why can't, the Gemara said that Ishaskis should be so powerful that even the Zikin, she should be able to push them to Ziburis. So some say, there's different forshim how to explain Pshat in the Rambam. Some say that the Gemara falls off from Ishaskis completely. The opposite of the Rosh. That we fall off totally from Ishaskis. There's no power. In other words, a person does, even if he himself is smart enough to come up with such a threat, we tell him, sorry, you're too late. You already bought the three fields. In other words, you bought the land already, and if you bought the land, so come dina, it's called. In other words, he has no rights. The Gemara later on knocks off the Gemara feels that it's not a strong enough svara. But some want to say that the pshat in the Rambam is passing like Rav Sheshis. In other words, the Gemara really holds that the power of Ishaskis is a compromise. We only let him say Ishaskis to see to it that they should not all collect from idiots. That's power. That's enough of a power. That's how far Ishaskis is used. But Ishaskis cannot be used to hurt Nezikin. It can't be. In other words, it's only when it's not hurting somebody else. It's only to protect the buyer. Ishaskis, that's how far we use it. In order to keep things the way they were originally. But the Rosh held that Ishaskis, you take a look in the Rajma, that we pass in seems that we hold like Rosh Sheshis, we hold of Ishaskis, that there is such a power, but we only hold like the, in other words, what the Gemara, la halacha, we don't rely on the power to go so far to say that even by Nezikin, that it should be so far that even Nezikin should lose out. All right, this was some of the machshavas in the sugya. I saw some that it was a little hard on you. Maybe it was a hard sugya, maybe partly because I was knocked out. Tomorrow we'll learn the last sugya of on Daftet Samad Aleph. And whatever you got, but try to chazer it over, please. I'd like to see that you should get it.